Bristol, the throbbing cultural centre of the southwest. Shaped by the brilliant engineer Isambard Kingdom Brunel, the city built its wealth on the back of the Industrial Revolution. But what does 21st century Bristol look like? I'm Jemima Kish, standing on Bristol Harbour on a balmy early summer evening. To the left, we're overlooking narrow boats, and to the right, the Watershed Media Centre, where we'll be meeting some of Bristol's brightest tech community. One of the people responsible for shaping Bristol's burgeoning digital media scene is Mark Lever, Development Director at Southwest Screen. Let's go and meet him. We're here in the Pervasive Media Studio today, which is a fantastic, very early stage support space, more for creative projects than for startup businesses. But is this quite an important wing of the Southwest Screen portfolio?
Yeah, very much so. We feel that we need to spark innovation. The media industry is always moving, and we need to find a space where we can catalyse new ideas, create a community around R&D, try out new technologies, and experiment and kind of build on the strengths of everything else that's going in Bristol, but find a safe space to go wrong, start again, learn lessons, but create some really interesting projects.
The screen agencies, the network of screen agencies around the UK, used to be very much TV and film focused, but now the screen obviously means computer screen as well. So to what extent is that part of your mission to support kind of interactive technologies and mobile and digital media?
It's kind of core to what we do. We've got a very strong television background in the Southwest, but how do we grow industries that trade internationally and that are kind of future-proofed? How do we create the next generation of Aardman Animations or BBC Natural History Units? And in some ways, it's a kind of grand ambition, but you've got to spark some ideas, and very small ideas that they come from.
Now, a lot of the projects that we've looked at today, the people we've spoken to, they've been very creatively focused. They're not so much entrepreneurs with kind of commercially viable businesses. It's more about the art side of things and the ideas and the creativity. Is that a particular characteristic of Bristol?
No, I think it's a characteristic, if you like, of the Pervasive Media Studio. We see it very much as a kind of a research space. We have run other projects where we were funding things which had a very, very clear route to market. Here, I think it's more about experimentation and learning. I don't think we've found anything that we can't see where it might head in the future. And a number of the projects that we ran in the first round in 2008 have gone on and started to monetize and are really kind of motoring as businesses. But in some ways, what we're trying to do is to spark the new idea and not weight it down with trying to make a business plan too early.
Further on down the line, you have projects that are more commercially focused. Can you tell us about those?
What we've tried to do with the Media Sandbox is have an end client in the room. So we have production companies who are mentoring this. We have people like Nicole Yershon from Ogilvy as a mentor in it. We have Orange involved. We have Nesta involved. So we have people in the room who can guide the idea, saying, actually, if you head this way, it's more commercial or more commercially viable. But it's a light touch. We gradually get harder as we go along. And all the way through, we have support from IP lawyers and other people who can help the business to kind of really focus itself once it's heading in a certain direction.
And Hewlett-Packard has a big influence in Bristol as well, because they have a very big research and development centre here. Can you tell us about their involvement? Because we know that they put a lot of money into supporting a lot of projects like Media Sandbox, for example.
They like to find a way to find young creatives to try out some of their newer ideas. So things around their Emscapes platform and Pervasive Media itself was a focus for HP Labs, and that enables us to use their technology and to use their backing to try out some ideas. And for them, it's a kind of action research with some slightly left-field ideas that they wouldn't have come up with themselves. And we've done a very similar idea with utility computing, where we commissioned some very small bedroom animators, if you like, to use HP's utility computing platform, and they worked out how they could monetize and what the business model might be of the utility platform. We gave a bunch of animators more computing power than they could possibly ever have imagined, and came up with some very interesting CGI short films.
There's clearly a lot of creativity in Bristol, but what are the challenges of being here, and what needs to be improved?
The challenges, I suppose, are around creating a profile and a scale. It's about, you know, talking on an international stage to say, actually, there are really interesting ideas and really interesting companies here. Bristol has an international reputation in animation, has an international reputation in documentary making, in natural history filmmaking, and we have to build an international reputation in digital media. And so, in some sense, it's all the talent is here, but getting the talent to the marketplace and getting the talent profile in the marketplace is our big challenge. We've got a lot of projects going on in the States, projects going on in Singapore, and we're really kind of pushing everybody out of Bristol, because I think in some ways, once you get out of the UK, it doesn't matter which bit of the UK you're in, you're just a talented person.
Thank you very much.
My name's Melissa Tom, and I'm the director of Radio in Schools.
I'm Lee Carrott, and I'm the director for Nomos Media.
Radio in Schools is a national podcasting platform for creating, showcasing, and sharing students' work. We offer lots of interactive tools and support, and one of the tools is the unique virtual studio. You can create, edit, and share podcasts online without the need to download software.
Bristol is a great place to sort of start a new business in, because there's plenty of support for young businesses locally. There's a great scene here of sort of young, kind of up and coming interactive companies. It's generally a fairly friendly place to do business.
From a media, specifically radio point of view, I guess, I find sort of networking very different in Bristol to perhaps somewhere like Brighton, where we used to work. Just from my experience, that it's quite sort of tribal in Bristol, and people sort of stay in their own areas. And it would be great, something that unites industry with people entering the industry, with designers, with digital media agencies, something quick where you can network really simply and easily, perhaps over a beer.
I'm Seth Jackson. I run a company called Indie Mobile. We do exciting mobile creative marketing for the music industry. Working in Bristol is particularly nice because it's like a microcosm of creative Soho, except with cider and people with open minds who don't have such busy agendas, which allows you to work with lots of interesting, flexible companies in a nice environment and get home to see your kids at 6 o'clock. If I could change one thing about working in the Southwest, it would be to move all the London agencies and record labels into an area somewhere around Flaxbourton so I could visit them. The reason nobody ever comes to Bristol is because it is nearly an hour and 20 minutes on the train, and that is such a long time. There's a mental block coming down the M4.
Well, they were some of the interesting people we met at Watershed. But first, we went to the Pervasive Media Centre, the government-funded office space for very early-stage creative projects. I spoke to Dan Effigan, who is Online Creative Director at Aardman Animations. But first, Gavin Henderson, Head of Programming at RDS Presentable, and asked him to explain the importance of the government-funded Media Sandbox project.
It's a really interesting time at the moment in trying to work out how digital media is defining itself. We've got a lot of really brilliant ideas and some really interesting technology, which is now making its way into the mainstream.
Are there any particular trends or projects that come out of Bristol that are particularly strong, that you think give Bristol the edge over other kind of creative centres around the country? Obviously, animation is something that Bristol is very strong at, in natural history.
Yeah, I'd say you've kind of mentioned them all there. There's animation with great groups of people that have kind of formed. There's a lot of great Flash animators that have crossed over into the interactive stuff that's happening. Because of HP, we've had great location-based stuff. And through the collection of people they brought together, we've had some great kind of like street-based stuff. And I think because of the TV base that's in Bristol, and because of the particularly natural history TV base, you know, that obviously formed the new media that came from that, and the three have started interconnecting together. Some nice kind of cross-media projects that seem to have blended at least two of them together.
There's quite a lot of government money, and the regional development agencies and agencies like Screen Southwest obviously putting quite a lot of money into these kind of projects. But should there be more venture companies coming down here? I mean, do you feel like that's all far too London focused? And actually, you know, there are some really good solid companies and some real talent here, and there should be more commercial funding opportunities for them.
I think that's right. I think commercial money will come, but the problem at the moment is that if you've got money to spend, you need something to spend it on. And people aren't prepared to get a checkbook out for high concept ideas. They're looking for examples of what it's likely to generate. So I think it will start in a small way, but the products that they then create will attract bigger funding.
What's the interest for RDF, though, in being involved with Media Sandbox? I mean, is it to sort of, you know, cherry-pick talent or cherry-pick ideas, or just to get a sense of trends and what's going on in the industry?
The opportunity here is to find out what people perceive as the most exciting technology, and then for us to take the content which we own or that we create and work out the most effective way of distributing it on those new platforms. So quite often people who are at the cutting edge of technology have quite specific uses for that technology. And I think the advantage that I have is by looking at it from a different perspective, is being able to say, actually, I can see a much, much bigger use for that technology, and hopefully one that can make money.
Do you think there's some disadvantage to being in a bigger, more established company when you look at a lot of the projects that are being run by one or two people? They have a huge amount of sort of flexibility in how they can manage their projects.
Yeah, things happen slower to some degree, but, and I don't know whether I can say it's about all large companies, but in Aardman it feels very different. You know, the online department is 1 year old, and we basically feel like a startup company. There's seven of us sat in a room, very excitable, running all over the place, and I was part of this community, the Pervasive Media community, which is really lots of small micro companies, and that has still carried on. You know, we work with one, two-man people all the time. We're actually working with people from this project because we've met them through the PM studio. So I think being in Bristol, you have to work with these smaller micro companies because that's what are here, and they're a lot more exciting. I don't think it's derogatory not to be there. You've just got to utilise the skills where possible and bring them in, keep them close.
How about kind of international connections? There's a lot of stuff going on in London, but there's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of creative hubs and interesting corners of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of work all over the place, particularly in the online department. I think maybe the broadcast guys upstairs are slightly less used to people being able to just drop in as kind of far-reaching as we do. But we've got games programmers we work in with in the Philippines. We work with people in Portugal, and we drop a post saying we need to find a games developer of some kind, and out come all these people from all over the place. And you know, we're on Skype, we're talking to them all the time.
In your mentoring role at Sandbox, what kind of advice are you called on to give?
The best advice probably is just not being so closely involved with the project. I think the mistakes that most people make is they're so ambitious and they're so enthusiastic about their own project that they quite often don't know where to stop. And they might run away and get quite defocused. And I think from the outside, it's quite easy to walk in and say, actually, if you did a bit less of that and a bit more of that, it's going to be a much better product.
And what's the next stage for Media Sandbox this year?
Well, hopefully several of the projects might develop into ones which can grow, you know, maybe attracting external funding from commercial people or from government bodies. And then, you know, ultimately, hopefully, generate another more ambitious project which gives other people the chance.
My name's Vicky Brophy and I work at Wonky. We're an animation company that set up just over about 2.5 years ago. And the great thing is being in Bristol is there's a hell of a lot of talent. And a lot of the people that here are really, really creative. If they were in London, to be able to afford to be there, they'd be literally spending all their time working and not doing their own projects. Whereas the people we work with in Bristol will be working in old people's homes, in bookshops, 2-3 days a week, and spending the rest of the time doing nothing but their own creativity. It's people that are truly passionate, don't necessarily want the fame and the money. They literally do what they do and sometimes give up paid work to fulfil their own interests. There's loads and loads of fantastic exhibitions going on, all self-promoted, and it's those sorts of people we tap into that don't usually work at the average creative agencies. It'd be great to be able to go out 2-3 nights a week and just hang out with people in London and be able to transport yourself up there, but it doesn't happen that way. And I think to get the breaks in London, we'd really need to spend a bit more time there. So maybe at some point we'd need to maybe spend a month or two or have a sort of a non-permanent office or something maybe. We can't afford to be there all the time, and I think we'd probably miss out on the opportunities that we'd have if we were there permanently. But, you know, we're patient and we'll go to the big events when we can, so we try and get over it that way really.
I'm Nick Piggott. I'm the Head of Creative Technologies for Global Radio and I work in Central Bristol.
And I'm Andy Buckingham, Creative Technologist for Global Radio.
What we really do is we're looking for opportunities to use technology to make radio a better experience. So something that people will listen to more often, something that people will listen to for longer and something that's more valuable for us commercially. What we've done most recently is run out an iPhone application, which we launched at the back end of last year. It's been extraordinarily popular, had over 400,000 downloads of it. It used location-based services to make what you see relevant to where you are at the time. It's a not very well-known fact that actually commercial digital radio started right here in this building in the Watershed in central Bristol. That was the first home of Core and Planet Rock in a cupboard. Based here out of Bristol, we've been able to attract really good talent. We've got really good people who love working with the team. They see that we do interesting things. We've never had a problem finding good people to work here. And there's never been a compelling reason why this team would produce better applications, would do more interesting or innovative things if we were based in London, as opposed to benefiting from based on the waterfront here in the centre of Bristol. So that's really why we started here, it's why we're still here, and why there isn't any obvious reason why we would have to move to London to get any better than we are now.
I originally worked for a radio group in Manchester, and I moved to Bristol, and it was a big change because Manchester's much more busy. It's a slower pace here, but I much prefer it.
Those were a few more thoughts on Bristol from Tech Weekly listeners who popped along to the Watershed, and more of those shortly. But first, some more interesting mobile projects that we discovered. In a moment, Richard Johnson of Bristol-based Mobile Pi tells me about the prospects for their new iPhone app. Before that, Simon Johnson of Simon Games told me about his innovative mobile ideas and started off by introducing what is temporarily called their new mobile social gaming engine and how it will connect the web with the real world.
It's a web service that enables us to run the kind of games we run. So it's a way of connecting the kind of the web and the street in a real-time playful function.
Have you had quite a lot of take-up of your game within Bristol? I mean, is it a particularly kind of Bristol-focused audience that you're building for?
We have a monthly playtesting event that is very Bristol-based. But yeah, even that, we have people nationally turning up, and there's some people in Birmingham who come back and forth as well. So.
And what is it about Bristol that keeps you here?
There's a real kind of get-up-and-go attitude with people in Bristol, that people are willing to just do things, and there's not necessarily a financial incentive for people to do things. So, but people are willing to do them anyway. It's a small enough city for networks to grow quite quickly and for them to become quite resilient.
And you're also gearing up for IGFest. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so IGFest is the Interesting Games Festival, and it's a three-day festival of all things interesting and game-like. So last year we had 23 games across 3 days, some of which were purely foolish and from throwing coloured paint at each other. Others involved a cast of dozens and a huge citywide fun. Others, some are very cerebral, some are very physical. We're just getting into gear for this year's festival. And we've got, on the 24th of June, we've got the first of the events, which is the Olympics. We'll be starting off with a Korean laser ball championship. So we invite in back last year's Korean laser ball champions to defend their title, and inviting a whole host of new players.
At some point, you have to come out of the kind of research phase and actually try and get some money through the door. Do you have any commercial clients lined up?
Yeah, so we've been doing research work for about 18 months, and the stuff that we've been working on is explicitly geared towards commercial work. So taking public money is all well and good, but it's not sustainable. So what we're trying to do is to build up a set of products or a set of services that will enable us to deal with reasonably scaled clients. So that's quite exciting. That's quite, some of these are quite big brands.
And what would really help you take your business to the next stage? I mean, do you think there's a lack of perhaps like venture funding or more formal non-government funding that would really make your business much more commercially focused?
There is a really big problem with venture funding. So if we were in California, we could just go to Silicon Valley, and there's a whole host of people there who could say, hey, we're doing this thing, it's great, we've got all this interest, and there'd be people there who understand the situation we were in and the sector we were in, and we ought to offer us the right kind of backing. There's nothing like that here. So we are we're in a position where we're taking research funding and trying to turn research funding into commercial funding, and it's not ideal. So we're in the kind of, it's a difficult position to do that, but it's possible. So that's where we're at.
I'm Richard Wilson, and I'm a director at Mobile Pi. We're an independent games and entertainment company working on mobile devices such as the iPhone and Google's Android.
So you've just released a beta version of your iPhone app, very early sort of development stage, but tell us what it does.
We worked on a project called Happy Packages, which looked at how you could distribute digital content to your friends and family around the city. We then received additional research funding for this to take it onto the iPhone, which is where we currently are, sort of looking at how people can recommend locations to their friends and families in a way that makes sense and doesn't copy any of the other social apps out there.
So are you thinking this is going to be recommendation that's built with some kind of powerful algorithms, or is it going to be more of a socially determined recommendation system?
Much more of a socially determined system. I mean, people have taken time to join their friends on places such as Facebook and Twitter, so we already have those relationships, so we want to make as much use of those as possible.
Now, you don't want to start another social network for obvious reasons. Like, there's a hell of a lot of them at the moment. There's a lot of apps in that area as well. Is it possible that you might construct this app in such a way that it would have quite strong commercial potential for, I don't know, a restaurant chain or a particular brand? Are you thinking about it in that kind of way, or is it more of just an experiment to see what kind of things people like to play with, I suppose?
Definitely. I think there's a really strong potential for commercial use for location-based social apps, where certainly people could share vouchers and know what sort of shops and restaurants are around them. And often you see it virally with emails, where people send vouchers to their friends because they know they might like it. And there's no reason why this couldn't be taken to the next level on something like the iPhone, where you pass around vouchers to perhaps your favourite shop because you know you're going up to London that week or something like this.
And obviously we're in Bristol, but how would you kind of characterise the scene in Bristol? And the Pervasive Media Studio has a very particular sort of personality that's a kind of crossover between art and media and tech, but it's quite non-commercial as well. I mean, does that affect your work? Is that why you're here?
I think the really nice thing about Bristol is it's very creative and it's very independent, and people will do interest in tech art-based projects regardless if there's commercial interests involved or not. So you see lots of great tech projects such as Bristol Streets, which is a nice map insight, but people have just done for the love of it, for the love of the city, for the love of the art or the technology, and that's certainly been one of the strongest points of Bristol for us.
My name is Joel Hughes. I'm a web developer living in Bristol. I work for a company called Eskool, who do one of the biggest revision guides. And in my spare time, I'm creating web applications that will hopefully grow into businesses. Bristol has a more accessible community on lots of levels, like not just, like nice places to live, you can make friends, the similar types of people live in similar areas and it's easy to get around, but also from a business point of view, it's very easy to meet somebody who's been there and done it, and there's, organised meetups and sort of community-minded projects that allow that to happen. There's a lot of well-meaning people and good advice going around, but maybe there could be a little bit more infrastructure for projects to start new businesses. So, you have things like Seed Camp in London. There probably isn't a real equivalent in Bristol. So more things along that kind of line, where people will help nurture a young business.
My name's Chris Garrett. I run CG Media, which is an emerging company based in Cypher in Bristol. I've been a freelance digital media designer and developer for about 4 years now. And over the past sort of 6 months, I've started to scale up to a four-person agency. Our main client at the moment is the English Table Tennis Association, and we're doing a number of sort of digital media projects with them, including work on the big screens, BBC big screens in Millennium Square in Bristol, but also rolled out across 6 other cities. Coming from Gloucester, I find that Bristol's got a really sort of buzzing media industry, particularly on the sort of digital cross-section, Pervasive Media and web production. And there's a lot of very talented people around, and everybody's really willing to share information, which can be great when you get into a situation where you have problems to solve or you need to look for talent. There's no shortage of people that can help you out. Bristol suffers from a syndrome of being a small city where it's actually very dominated by a few big players. And as a sort of startup company, which is really just starting to break into the scene, it's extremely hard work to get traction when the sort of limited amount of funding at a grassroots level is tied up by these big agencies which are well established and able to put together and spend more resources on really polished pitches. Tied into that is really that there is a lack of grassroots funding, I think. If you look at places like the West Midlands, Screen West Midlands recently rolled out match funding for 4IP funding. This doesn't happen in the South West, so if Bristol had this, it would mean that we could make our 4IP funding do twice the mileage.
Over at the Watershed, we met up with more developers, designers and tech creatives who told us about their latest projects. ARG designer Hazel Greer has worked on a slew of big-name projects, including a major campaign for a Hollywood blockbuster, and also wrote Bebo's interactive drama Kate Modern. She explained why writing for the web is different to writing for traditional media and why it's a great opportunity for creatives.
When you're writing interactively, you're thinking about using all the tools that's available through new technology and social media to allow you to have a much closer and live feeling relationship with the audience. So that means comments on Bebo pages, being able to write back to your audience as a character, and they can write back again and have that feeling of being in touch with someone, and just using all the various tools that's on there, like write boards or whatever. You can then also have something like a live event so that the audience gets to realise that there is going to be something happening at a certain time and a certain place, so they can turn up and be a part of a bit of the drama unfolding before their eyes. So then you video that as well, and then that goes online.
So that's where your writing crosses over more into ARGs, which is what you spend most of your time working on. Tell us about the most recent ARG that you worked on.
Well, I'm not allowed to say what it is because we signed a great big NDA, but it was very exciting, and it was basically for a brand that has a very big fan base and has a very big history of storytelling behind it. And so the fans have a lot of detail in their minds and a lot of material that they're aware of in the past. What we were able to do was to make that pervasive, which means bringing it into your real life so that you may get emails from this world of the story you're used to seeing in movies and on TV and in comics. You may get something to your mobile. You can have email interactions and be a part of it, so that as an audience member you are helping the characters directly, so you're having like a theatrical experience throughout your day-to-day life.
Do you think from the point of view of opportunities in careers and things, I mean, is there a big demand for people, for writers and creatives that really understand social media and how a proper kind of interactive story really works and needs to be developed? Or is it that you're still having to do a little bit of persuasion with brands to get them to experiment with these kind of projects?
I think there is still some persuasion that goes on. In the US, this is much more of an accepted thing. It kind of started there. I guess there's brands there with enough money and enough kind of innovative sense to try these things out. You know, and traditionally they've done that over the past 10 years. Over here, it's actually the NGOs that are showing most initiative in this. So I've worked with the Red Cross, for instance, the British Red Cross, through an agency called Enable in Bristol. They're really engaging with this more than anyone else, actually, which is quite interesting, because they know that it's a really good way of engaging with their audience online and getting them to really get a feel for the information that they're trying to get across and to experience the issues.
Well, thanks to everybody at Pervasive Media Studios and The Watershed for making us so welcome. There'll be lots of links to the companies that we've mentioned on the Tech Weekly page at guardian.co.uk/techweekly. Every time we go on the road, we're just reminded how many amazing companies and how much talent there is and energy that's outside London. Bristol has music, TV, gaming, robots, semiconductors. There's so much going on. We hope we've shone a light on at least a little bit of that. Now, where should we go next? Tell us. You can tweet us. We are at GuardianTW, or email tech@guardian.co.uk. Next week, Alex is back in the studio. I'm Jemima Kish. This has been Bristol, and good night, my babbers.